This dude gassed up Robert E. Lee in Gettysburg.
Quote, he goes, quote, have you guys ever noticed that Robert E. Lee isn't in favor anymore? No s***, the Confederacy. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 29 of the Coconut Curry Podcast. On this episode, we will discuss our NBA playoff predictions, react to some of the play-in games that happened yesterday, as known as Tuesday, and we're going to have our first annual Coconut Curry mock draft where we go through the first round of the NFL draft. Each of us will draft teams, we'll make trades with each other, and it'll just be a nice chaotic version of the draft this year. But before we do all that, if you're new around here, we are three college students at the University of Pittsburgh. I'm Justin. We have Raj and Peter here as well. We're on all platforms, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. We just chat about sports and hopefully offer a fresh new perspective on things. Please like, comment, subscribe. It helps us out a lot as we try to grow this channel.
Yeah.
You always start with reacting to comments, and I have one to react to this week. Shout out to everybody who watched the Caitlin Clark clip because it got highly viewed. Not a lot of comments. Somebody said they hated my analogy. Listen, buddy. It was a great analogy.
What was the analogy again?
CVS stealing.
Oh, yeah.
Versus ref calling. Like, sure, is stealing a federal crime?
No.
It is.
Yeah, well, it's not a federal crime.
It's a crime.
If it's petty theft, it's still a crime.
It's a crime. Is setting an illegal screen a crime? No. But it's still illegal in the sport.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a great analogy. My dad texted me, said he loved the analogy. So you know what? F*** you.
My dad said it was good, so it was good.
Moving on to disgruntled moment of the week. This is our favorite segment where we discuss things that made us dissatisfied or angry, or we talk about other people. And I know Peter is very disgruntled this week.
I am very disgruntled. So for those that don't know, for those that haven't watched some of our older content, we're all nerds. We're all big nerds.
Not me.
Yeah, definitely not Justin. Definitely not you of all people with how many hours in... Oh, no, you have a lot of hours in Hogwarts Legacy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, surely the man...
Surely not Raj.
Surely the man that could tell me everything there is.
It surely wasn't us two who did a Secrets of Dumbledore review 2 years ago.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Surely it wasn't.
That wasn't us.
But if you'd like to go watch it, scroll down a little bit on our page.
You can find it.
Highly viewed video, by the way.
Yeah. But... So one of the new shows, one of the new superhero shows that's been coming out recently is Invincible. It's just an incredible show. It's hard to describe the show without like kind of spoiling it, but basically it's like a twist on like the classic, like, oh, kid has superpowers, grows up to become a superhero, whatever. It's a very mature take on it. That's why, people like are really starting to enjoy it. The writing is incredible, but good Lord. The first season came out in 2022. It's 2024. The second season came out in... Or no, the first season came out in 2021, I think?
Yeah.
Yes, it was tail end of 2021. And...
Schwarbaum! Sorry.
Yeah, I'm run. Yep.
Phillies are
Let's
playing.
Let's go. Right now.
But basically, long story short, this release schedule of this show is absolutely abhorrent. It is so bad. We have waited for like 2.5 years... for 4 episodes to come out, then a 3-month break, and then another 4 episodes to come out, and now there's no timetable for the third season. It drives me insane. Now, it is an animated show, so it doesn't make sense why it takes longer than a normal show, but good Lord, these animators need to just be locked in a room.
In a closet.
In a closet. Because I know that's what they do with all the animes over Japan. They have the worst working conditions possible for these poor animators.
But great content.
But God, I need this.
Back to back! Trey!
Trey Turner with a home run. There we go. So
dare I say the bats are going.
They might be.
I guess I'll just keep talking about Invincible and then we'll just
keep going.
But so it's just the content is genuinely some of the best superhero content I've ever seen in my life. But I'm going to be legitimately 30 years old when the show ends, and I'm 22 right now. That's way too long to wait for this. I might have kids by then, by the time that I'm going to be finishing the show. Like, no, far too long.
It kind of reminds me of The Boys a little bit, where The Boys had so much popularity, whatnot, and then they haven't released anything in 2 years. It's going to be even more time for that. So, like, just kind of fell off the face. I mean, the release schedules cause so much trouble because you can really, like, lose a show. We have short memories as human beings, and we move on very quickly. Good reason to be disgruntled.
Yeah.
Raj, this is your segment, buddy. What's got you disgruntled this week?
Nicholas Castellanos. My man. when you swing at a I understand it's hard to swing at a baseball when a pitcher's throwing it 95 to 99 miles per hour at you. But here's my thing. You've been playing for how long now? And do you know what a down and away slider is? Do you know how to tell when someone's going to throw that at you? So when you step up to the plate, bud, when you're going to start, you know, doing your at-bat, please, for the love of God, stop falling for the down and away sliders. That was horrendous. That wasn't even a slider. The dude threw it like 3 feet off the plate to the left or to your right, and you still swung at it. Like, this is the plate, and this is where the ball is, and you're swinging at this.
Yeah, he was swinging at pitches that were, like, almost a foot off the plate.
Like, I can't keep defending you.
It's... When you see batters like that at the plate, you're just like, they don't know what they're doing. Like, they're lost at the plate, and they need to get back on track.
Scrap them and sign Liam Castellanos to a future deal. That's all we need now.
To a future deal. Yeah, Nick Castellanos has not been good to start.
Figure that.
But Philly's up 2-0 on the Rockies early, so that's
good.
Trey,
well, Rockies, Kyle.
That's not really a big flex right there.
Hey, a win's a win.
Yeah. That they're like 4 and everything.
Can't take anything for granted in this league. We will talk about baseball eventually when other sports are done, but it's a lot of sports right now.
Wow, Real Muto with a base hit? I've never seen him
pitcher's
not
in, this pitcher's in hell. He's not really.
He's getting shelled. He should get pulled.
Two home runs, one hit, one out.
It's the first inning. My disgruntled moment of the week is the end of the school year slash just graduation. So,
don't say that word.
When we have about a week left in the school year, so final exams, final stuff, and then I will be moving out of Pittsburgh for... the
future,
for at least the next 4 years, probably for the rest of my life. So I'm currently dissatisfied, angry, and sad because I'm leaving. But that's
womp,
not
womp.
What you came here to hear.
Womp,
see.
Womp, you yeah. ass.
This is not what you came to hear. You came to hear about the NBA playoffs and the mock draft coming later today. Stick around, audience retention. So yesterday we had the first games of the Western Conference play-in. I will be honest here and gloat. I predicted both rounds. Did I say it on air? No, because we didn't record. But
yes.
I was right. So we had the Kings beat the Warriors to get into that next game. Jeez. Lakers beat the Pelicans. So now we'll have the Pelicans versus the Kings fighting for the 8th seed to see who will lose to the Thunder in the first round. And then we had the Lakers advance to go play the Nuggets.
Another sweep there. But
so let's
talk about my Pookie LeBron like that.
Let's talk. We're going to do full playoff predictions with amendable changes. What we're going to do first is talk about those games. The Lakers beat the Pelicans by 4 or so points. A game down on the wire. Both teams did not shoot the ball well. But
Zion got hurt with like 3 minutes left.
But let's talk about Zion. What a game.
Yep. Great game. Actually, like unironically, we've been clowning Zion since the inception of this podcast. but he really has been turning around. He showed out in the playoffs. He got like tweaked his hamstring, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's actually going to be able to play against the Kings either, which sucks. Because he was unguardable.
Yeah.
Like, just bully ball in the paint. He just couldn't be stopped.
This game is Zion's career right now wrapped up into one singular game. So, people, like, I think it's been missed a lot. When Zion's played, he's been really good. He had that 1 year where he, like, made an All-NBA team, I think. But he was if he didn't make the All-NBA team, he was really good that year.
He was an All-Star, I think.
And then he hurt himself and then was out for a while and has had trouble with his weight. And he misses time. And this was just the perfect moment. He had 40 points. He was unguardable, really good. And then he gets hurt at the end of the games because, as people have noted, his body really can't hold up in a league that requires so many minutes and so much movement. And now he can't play in the next game. So, but I thought it was really good for people to see just how talented the kid is. I mean, he can't shoot a ball to save his life.
But
LeBron
paint,
was sagging off like 8 feet. There's the Ben Simmons treatment, which is not something you want to be compared to. But... it was really cool to see him have his moment.
In the paint, he's like unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Lakers, on the other hand, good way to get a win because their star players shot like it was piss poor.
Yeah.
LeBron shot 20%. AD didn't have a great game. And it was really the role players that stepped up for the Lakers to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And they have to go play the Nuggets next round. But I did want to mention, because I'm very passionate about this, for everybody in the media who said that the Lakers should lose to the Pelicans because they get to avoid the Nuggets, you should be fired. Mike Greenberg for ESPN, love that guy. I watched him when Mike and Mike was an ESPN radio show for a while. My dad and I used to watch a lot. Loved him there. I've loved him on Get Up on ESPN. But you need to like lose the mic, bro. Like the idea that you are saying that a team should lose to the Pelicans so that they get to the nine, so they get into the game that they're the 8th seed, so they get to play the Thunder instead. Like, Absolutely not. And I'll get into the reasons why I think the Lakers have a shot to beat the Nuggets in a little bit. But this idea that you would potentially risk missing the playoffs altogether because you want a chance to avoid the Nuggets, which, guys, they're not actually that much worse than the Nuggets.
When they're playing good.
Yes, when they're playing good. And we'll discuss all the reasons there. But it's just ludicrous that people would say they should intentionally lose that game. And obviously the Lakers didn't feel that way, and they came out and won the game on the road and get right into the playoffs as a 7 seed. So any other thoughts in that game?
Oh, sorry. I was Nick Castellanos that bad.
Currently 4-1 right now.
Yeah,
two doubles. Or a double and a base hit.
Yeah.
This pitcher's getting shelled on the Rockies. Yeah.
And they showed a clip of Casty when he was still on the Reds nailing up like a fastball right into that pitcher's face.
Yeah.
Oh, so Cassie's striking out here. He's doing it again. No in between.
Okay.
Anywho, but my Pookie Bear LeBron is very good.
He didn't look great that game.
I know,
he
but was still
not well, shooting great.
Here's what you like as Lakers fans. LeBron took a charge from Zion Williamson
and got multiple. Up.
Yes,
he took multiple. Up.
Well, he took it and was like celebrating after.
Yeah, it was. It's Molly Morrison's person for Bleacher Report. Big Grizzlies fan, she tweeted and she was like, I don't care like how big or strong you are, how are you young are you, I'm never taking a charge of Zion.
Will it's, never take
a
charge.
Brave man.
Yeah, that is crazy. that is a brave and at 39 taking a charge from Zion and then celebrating that he took the charge, like my man's in it for the team.
That man's locked in.
He's locked in.
Very exciting. And then we had the Warriors lose to the Kings.
They look terrible.
And what was the most predictable outcome you could have seen coming. Everybody who pretended, this is another thing with the media, everybody who pretended the Warriors had a shot, there were people, Chris Broussard, people on ESPN saying, hey, if the Warriors get in and they play OKC
don't
in the
let
first
them
round,
in. Don't let them in.
Don't let them in. They're an experienced team. They're not good. Nope. They are 16-0 against the bottom of the league. So the Nets, the Blazers, the Wizards.
The Magic.
Not the Magic. The Pistons, they're 16-0 against those bottom feeder teams and not above 500 against everyone else. Like, they were not a good play. They were not a good team. They don't have enough talent on their roster. Draymond and Clay aren't what they used to be. And then it's just Steph. And that's exactly what happened this game. They got exploited. Obviously, the Warriors were cold and Sacramento took advantage of that. But Sacramento also did some things defensively that you really like to see. They were guarding Steph with Keegan Murray.
They were like, hey, which no one else on this team could score.
Yeah. Hand up. I said Keegan Murray was going to be a bust. He's clearly not. I got to be better than that. But they were guarding him with Keegan Murray, so then every time they switched, it would just be De'Aaron Fox switching onto Steph, so that would be a favorable matchup. And so they couldn't really run pick and rolls.
Yeah.
And then the other guys didn't. Clay scored 0 points. 0 points. Yeah.
He's done. I think because there was like the clip of him like after the game kind of just like looking around like the stadium and everything. Like, he's done.
I think it's
get ready to say Ni Hao, Clay.
Yeah,
he's either saying Ni Hao or he's going to some team that needs a shooter. But
Orlando Magic.
So I guess what do you think the Warriors should do from here?
I think they need a new kid.
Blow it up.
Obviously, you have Curry as like your vet, but like
that's it.
You need a new kid. Like
Draymond's old.
Might as well be locked up in prison at this point. Clay is washed. Like, you have nobody else from the old guard there besides Curry.
Wiggins decided just to be bad.
Wiggins is bad.
I think this team needs a solid year to reset, like you guys kind of said.
They just need a new kid.
I understand that you. I don't think, like, I think Clay, he had a bounce back season compared to last season. He shot 42% from three. He still was very effective in his role, but I don't think.
How effective would somebody else who's cheaper, younger in that role be?
And
like,
he's at this point going to probably be more of a spot up guy, can do some nice things, can put the ball on the floor sometimes.
He's
not what 2016 Clay was, and that's what this team needs right now. They need a second star. I mean, look at the teams in the West right now. Look at Timberwolves, Cat, Anthony Edwards, Suns, KD and Booker, Nuggets, Jamal and Jokic, Lakers, AD, LeBron. Like, these teams, even if you look Pelicans, B.I. and
you
and
need
Zion,
somebody else as, like, the two.
You need somebody else as the two, and neither of those players are offering that, so you're just going to be outmatched. Sorry, I just even overlooked Luka and Kyrie. Like, they're two-headed monster teams, and you've kind of got the Warriors who are playing very Steph-centric and hoping the role players are good enough, and they're just not right now.
Yeah.
And I think they need to let Clay go, unfortunately. You're not going to be able to trade Draymond away as much as people want to say. You're not going to be able to trade him away.
Yeah,
so just kind of run it back with the team. try to see if Kuminga can take a few steps and try to get under the cap, because the owner of the Warriors said they need to get under the cap because he's been paying an absurd luxury amount of luxury tax forever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for a long time.
And that and they want, that won him two championships, and that's awesome, but now you've got to get under the cap.
Yeah. Who Clay reminds me of right now is like Ray Allen towards the end of his career,
yeah.
where it's like he's still an amazing shooter, but it's like he can't be like that, like who he was at one point,
yeah.
like that amazing like distributor, shot producer, like can do everything. It's no, like, it's a, but hey, you chuck him the rock, he's gonna make it.
That's a really good comp. And I mean, Ray Allen still in the back half of his career made a huge shot in 2013 finals when they drained
exactly
back out to Bosch, rebound Bosch back out to Allen, 3-point bang,
tie game with.
LeBron actually talked about that on the podcast episode today. Yeah. He said that he's like, yeah, I was a little lucky.
Can't wait to see Bronny in a Duquesne uniform.
Anyway.
Kings, Pelicans, who wins? I think it was Zion out, Kings.
Yeah, that's Kings. What I was just, yeah, Kings.
Yeah, and I think honestly, a Kings OKC first round is actually a really fun
game. They're both really young teams that just shoot. Yeah,
really, it's going to be a fast paced game. Yeah. I think Sabonis at center with a. Like a Chet figure in the middle. Like, I think it's a really interesting matchup. Yeah. You got Shea versus De'Aaron Fox.
That's going to be
like,
fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun matchup. So I'd love to see that happen. The caveat here is like the Pelicans are 5-0 against the Kings, and obviously Zion's around for those games, but it's like, does any residual, like, we just own this team happen? And, you know, B.I. or CJ can kind of lead the team in.
Finally turn it up when they needed to.
Yeah. But. I think the Pelicans need to have a hard look at their roster. I mean, B.I. is very good. CJ's very good. Zion's very good. Why isn't this team
better?
I know they fell off at the end of the year. They used to be the sixth seed, but it's like they need to eventually take this next step. Like, I mean, I clown our friend Jacob a lot, but like in the beginning of the year, they were the one seed and people were like, oh, is this the Pelicans year? And now they might not even make the playoffs. So not good. And I know the West is deep, but play-in games tonight, Sixers, Heat. Who do we got winning that game?
Sixers.
Okay, I think so too. It could, of course, one game series, anything can happen.
Jimmy Butler could do a Jimmy Butler meme, but yes. I don't think he will.
I think people are underestimating how bad that bad is a strong word, how not good the Heat are. Like this Heat team is not
the same Heat team.
It's not the same Heat team that went on a run last year. It is not the same Heat team that went to the finals in 2020. This is a very different team, and I'm not saying they still can't make it an interesting game against the Sixers. I'm not saying they can't take a game or two off the Celtics because they still have Jimmy Butler. They still have Bam Adebayo. They still have Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson.
But in a win and go home kind of situation, I just don't know if they're going to do it.
Yeah. Should be an interesting game. That's, I mean, that, you know, Philly's going to show up for that game. It's going to be great energy. I'm looking forward to it. And then I think we all agree that it doesn't matter if the Bulls or the Hawks win because the Heat will probably beat that team.
Probably, yeah.
Let's hope.
I do think the Hawks are going to win tonight, though.
The Hawks, yeah. DeMar DeRozan's daughter's not there. Yeah. I gotta bet the Hawks money line.
Hawks money line. All right, I like it.
My only concern with the Hawks is that, like, the last game of the season when they were probably still trying to play, the Pacers just went in and scored like 150 points.
Yeah,
on them.
Yeah, that was,
like,
demoralizing.
I'm like, oh gosh. So like the Bulls are just watching tape and are like, oh, okay, so this is every way we can score on this team.
Yeah, it's like, okay, look at this tape. Do that.
Yeah, it's like everything they did. Let's just do that again.
Exactly.
But that's the East. And then we're going to just kind of walk through matchups. We're going to actually make our official predictions for first round matchups here. And then we'll go through and predict everything out quickly, but we'll keep making predictions as it goes on.
Because especially with basketball, it's so chaotic every single time.
And we did this with football too. Like, we get the right to change our picks if our team loses because
it's just boring. Then. Yeah.
So we'll start off. We both think the Kings are going to win. So let's just assume the Kings advance.
Yep.
OKC Kings. Who wins?
OKC.
OKC.
Yep. I think it's OKC. You have a game count for that?
OKC in five.
I'll give them six.
Yeah, I was going to do six, too. I think the Kings have some interesting stuff. I think they'll at least get one in Sacramento with that crowd.
Yeah.
Luka and the Mavs versus the Clippers.
Give me Luka. Give me Luka and Kyrie. They look ridiculous.
It's unfortunate because I feel like everybody's picking the Mavs right now.
And I know, I don't want them to.
I don't want to be like the person who's just like riding the wave, but...
Yeah.
I never forget Luka just dominating the Clippers a few years ago in the playoffs and just making everyone his daddy.
Yeah. No, their sons. Yeah,
their son. Yeah. He was their daddy. And I'm just like, it's going to happen again.
I'll give him six as well.
Yeah. And I think it might be five.
Okay. I was going to give him five.
Okay. Oh, damn.
Yeah. I think it might be a bloodbath. And also, like, Clippers, like, Kawhi's injury.
It's
no one really knows.
Retirement home at this point.
Retirement home.
So it'll be interesting to see there. Suns versus the three seeded Minnesota Timberwolves.
Give me the Timberwolves. I think this
give
is
me the Wolves. I know you're gonna pick the Suns because you're a Suns slut, but you know, whatever.
It's always the Suns in
five.
Yeah,
I'm taking T-Wolves in seven.
Do you know what the Suns' record against the Timberwolves is this year?
You literally just went on a rant about how the Pelicans are 5-0 against the Kings, and you took the Kings
because they don't have Zion. I'm totally picking the Pelicans. My prediction for the West in season tournament was Lakers were going to win, and then Pelicans would beat either the Warriors or the Kings. That was my prediction until their best player got hurt.
Okay, well. Is Beal back for the...
Beal's back. He's good.
Thank God.
He just dropped like 30 points in the Timberwolves.
This Nets experiment before with the big three with KD. I'm not falling for it.
Nope. The Suns have dominated the Timberwolves all year. All year. They're going
to
do it again.
Anthony Edwards is going to embarrass them.
No. Not a chance. I think the underrated part of this Suns team, and it'll be very interesting to see, is their defense... Those players can play really good defense when they're locked in and engaged, and I will be very curious to see what their defensive ceiling is when they get into the playoffs. And the Timberwolves offer an interesting matchup because Yusef Nurkic is not the biggest nor like the most talented big man, and you're running two big men who are very talented for Minnesota. And then so you're running KD as the four spot, and he's going to have to match up with Kat or Rudy. He always matches up with Kat in this matchup particularly, and then you've got the three guards there. For the Suns as well. It's going to be a big series on like the defensive matchups and whatnot. I think it'll be very interesting because they're going to have Devin Booker, Beal, and Grayson Allen all working together to defend Anthony Edwards because he's going to be that point attack.
Oh, no. What is Grayson Allen going to injure somebody again?
I mean, Grayson Allen just got a bag because he's been fantastic this year. 48% from three or something like that. 46 or 48.
He's going to slide tackle like Anthony Edwards in a game and like break his ankle. That's the only way they're going to win.
Suns in five.
T-Wolves in seven. This
will go the distance, but I got the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I just don't. I think the Suns.
CP3 played on the Suns, and that has permanently cursed them.
It's permanently cursed them.
Denver Nuggets versus Los Angeles Lakers.
Nuggets in five.
Don't you dare pick the Lakers.
I might have been slightly radicalized because I got in an argument with one of our friends last night about the Lakers being a better matchup. And so I might have just gone one way entirely, but I'm going to pick the Lakers.
Jesus Christ. There's no shot. Who is guarding Joker?
D'Lo.
Anthony Davis.
He physically cannot. We've seen this experiment before. They play 23 seconds of good defense, and then Joker throws up a 37-foot three and then drains it.
Here's why I'm taking the Lakers. I'm not betting on it, by the way.
Thank God.
Last year, in their four-game series in the West Conference Finals, the Lakers lost by a total margin in those four games of 6 points. So they didn't win any of the games, and they lost them all by a combined margin average of 6 points. So they were very close in all those games. I think the Nuggets are not as good as they were last year, and I think the Lakers are quite better. Therefore, I think it is at least going six.
Yeah, the Lakers are so much better. They're the same seed.
LeBron has not lost a win-or-go-home game in like 3 years. He's like perfect in game sevens or the in-season tournament. So I think the series gets
to seven. So you're running on the assumption that we'll get to seven.
I'm running on these. Well, I think it's definitely going six. I think the Lakers are going to get one of them in Denver. I think they're going to get one of them in Denver. So, and they're going to go back and at least get one in L.A. I think it'll be there. And I think they have a chance there in a game seven. With LeBron James, one last hurrah to go.
We need to study your brain.
So I think people are completely underestimating how much better this Lakers team is than last year. And listen, it might like the Nuggets are a fantastic team. It might not matter, and they might still go roll through the Lakers. But the Lakers have a lot more talent and a lot more interesting options to defend folks like Jamal Murray with. They have Torian Prince on the team. Very interesting for matchup wise, coming off the switches. They're not going to be able to put Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. in as many ball screens because they can switch out and put Torian Prince, Rui, and folks like that out onto Jamal. They have Anthony Davis, who's been playing better this year and playing more this year. So I think he's going to be a bit more equipped to handle Jokic this year.
Glass Bones is going to be out by game three.
Yeah. Well, the concern there is that Anthony Davis gets injured, of course. But I think the Lakers.
Okay, so what happens when they shoot like they did against the Pels? Like, what happens?
Well, I think that was probably more of an aberration. Well, they will lose that game, but you can say the same case for any team, right? Like, oh, what happens if they just like shoot that way? Like, well, yeah, it wouldn't go great.
I think I'll give you that the peak of the Lakers is a lot higher than people are giving, but like That's they have to be perfect to beat the Nuggets in seven.
I don't buy that they have to be perfect because I think the Nuggets have just not been as good this year, and
they're only the two seed this year.
Yeah, I just don't think the way they've played these games, they've become vulnerable. They've lost a lot of games to Phoenix this year. They've lost a lot of games to OKC this year, some of the top teams in the West.
What do you want them to do? Losing to some of the best teams?
They have a losing record against those teams. They're 1-3 against OKC. They're 2-3 against Phoenix. They're not. I'm saying they don't look as good against good end competition this year as they did last year. Now, is that a product of having a little bit of a hangover from the championship last year? Could be. But I also think it might be a symptom of a greater problem, which
just
is
get to
their
East.
Team isn't as good.
Just get so, to the East.
Lakers okay. in seven.
Nuggets
oh,
six.
Do you want to just go through and predict the rest of the West now?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. In everybody's hypothetical matchup, we got OKC versus Dallas.
Dallas.
Oh.
It's going to go to seven, but I think the Mavs will clutch up and take it in seven.
I think I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah, I'm taking Dallas as well.
Yeah,
well, I'll take them
they
six.
Got a lot more experience. I think the Thunder team really just lives and dies by their shooting. And if they just get cold, they're just screwed.
There's no answer for Luka in the league, but I specifically don't think that answer is on the Thunder. And that's going to be really challenging for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
And this is where a lot of people think that Mavericks can go and make a long run because they can play OKC in the second round. Yeah.
Okay.
That's going to be a fun series. Yes. Really fun.
All right. So who do we have? You have.
Justin has 7-6. 7-6.
Well, okay. Yeah. So you can go first because you have.
So we have Timberwolves Nuggets.
Yeah.
Who do you got?
Well, basically a try.
I don't know.
It's gonna
because there is no way you think the Timberwolves, who are not going to beat the Suns, are gonna go in and beat the Nuggets.
We never said that.
You just told me the Lakers can't beat the Nuggets, but now you're debating who can win between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets.
The Timberwolves are better than the Lakers,
barely, if they even are better.
So you're agreeing that they're better.
I don't think so.
Oh my god! Okay. Just give me the Nuggets. Whatever.
Nuggets
Shut up.
In seven, I guess.
Nuggets in seven. Yeah, I'll agree with that.
It's gonna be a bloodbath of a playoff. So
because
a coin toss
they have they actually have big men that can somewhat guard. They have more than just one big guy in their team.
Yeah, but Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay, it's still a bigger ass body in the middle. Yeah. What do you want?
Also, Cat isn't terrible.
Oh, you should see his playoff. You should see his playoff career.
Oh
my god, you should see the Lakers shooting. Oh my god, it's been terrible.
The Lakers made the Western Conference Finals last year. They won the championship four years ago with the same
bubble. Mickey Mouse bubble ring.
Same nucleus.
When did the Suns last make the Western Conference Finals?
That was 2021.
And what happened after that in the in the finals?
Devin Booker had to play in a game
3 years ago.
I will promise you I will never take the Suns in a game 7 because Devin Booker, he doesn't show up to the arena in game 7.
That's what I'm saying. So what is your logic here?
For the Suns?
No, not for the Suns. I'm saying, you're saying, oh, well, Cat's bad in the game 7s. Why are you picking
Cat's bad in the playoffs.
The Suns haven't made the playoffs in 3 years. Or they haven't went far in the playoffs in 3 years.
Yeah, haven't they been first round exits every year?
I don't think that's relevant because they haven't had the team they have.
Oh, right. Sorry. They haven't had Kevin Durant. Oh, wait, they did.
Last year, and they acquired him halfway through the season.
It's Kevin Durant! figure it out!
I think this idea that
this dude is a top, this dude is easily a top 10 player of all time. And you can't figure it out?
The fact that we're holding the Suns to acquiring Kevin Durant halfway through the season and they didn't perform well in the playoffs, then this year they bring in Bradley Beal, they have a full season to work. Kevin Durant is super healthy throughout the year. This team is way different than what they were last year. And their starting lineup has been very good.
Yeah, real good at the, sixth seed? Yeah, real
good. Currently, I think Towns is going to average 12 points for the series. Everyone's going to...
Yeah, and Anthony Edwards is going to average 40.
No. Anthony Edwards, he's injured. Oh, we're getting on a side rant here. It's such a long episode. Anthony Edwards.
We need to split this into two.
Maybe. Anthony Edwards is a very interesting case because in past playoff matchups, he's been able to score, but when you're able to double team him, he's really not a great passer. And it'll be interesting to see, because he's right at that age where you're kind of propelling him into can he get into top 10 player in the league status? And it'll be very interesting to see if he starts to make those reads out of the situation. Because right when you can't double LeBron, for example, or Luka, because they're such great passers and they make you pay for.
If only you had some really big guy to throw to in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he's got two.
Well, okay. But as we mentioned, Kat is not a playoff performer. And
Rudy.
Surely, historically, Rudy, nobody's ever turned around a playoff performance ever.
No, I'm not saying there's not a 0% chance that Timberwolves can go. I just think it's funny that you think the Timberwolves are going to clear the Suns, and then you're like, oh, they might have a trouble
Justin's
against the Nuggets.
Justin's being a degenerate Suns fan and questioning our picks because we picked the T-Wolves over the Suns.
Anyway, just give me the Nuggets to play in the Western Conference Finals. Who cares?
Against the Mavs.
Mavs.
Mavs in five? Or Nuggets in five?
Nuggets
in five. Oh, okay.
I think the Mavs will win.
You think the Mavs are going to the finals this year?
Yeah, sure. I don't really care about the West. I don't really give a... All
right.
The West is just a bloodbath. Honestly, I could flip a coin.
Honestly, yeah. It's probably going to get nuked after the first round, so it doesn't matter.
It's going to get nuked if the Clippers beat the Mavs, because everybody is taking the Mavs. Yeah. If the Clippers beat the Mavs, everyone's going to be like, oh, we didn't prepare for this possibility.
Yeah.
In my scenario, I'd have the Suns, Lakers, and I have zero idea who I would pick in that matchup.
Bro, what are you...
Zero idea.
I just went on this rant about how good the Suns are, and you're like, but the Lakers, though, man.
The Lakers are... the Lakers are going to beat Nuggets, and then the Suns, I think, are a lot better than people think. That would be, like, a great series. That's going seven. But I can't, unfortunately, pick Devin Booker in a game seven, as I mentioned, so I would take the Lakers. It would be a Lakers-Mavericks series, which a Lakers-Mavericks series in the Western Conference Finals would hit like crack. That would be so good.
It would be so much fun, but it's not happening.
And then the Lakers are going to go to the finals. That's what I'm saying here.
Why is everyone riding the Lakers bandwagon?
I don't think many people are riding the Lakers bandwagon. I think everyone's riding the Lakers.
They barely beat. They got bailed yesterday with Zion's injury against the Pels. They were not going to win that game.
It was a one-off game. Like I don't think this idea that we can take a lot from this season. They also played this team 2 days earlier and just like destroyed them.
So, but then in the winner go home game, they played a lot better. Wow. Hmm.
Huh? The Pelicans had to play their hardest in that game because that was going to debate whether or not they got the sixth seed or not.
Both teams
were playing extremely hard. The Lakers kicked their ass. And then both teams played again extremely hard the next game, and the Lakers barely won. And they played one game at home. I think they were at home in that other game. And then the one game on the road. So they just beat the Pelicans. Like, they're 2-0 in the Pelicans in, like, winner go home type of games. And, like, the playoff, that's a very playoff atmosphere. So I don't think it's like, oh, they barely got a win there. Like, they were playing a playoff team. So
even Lakers fans were saying, bro, if Zion didn't get hurt, we were losing that game.
I mean, again, that's just like, it's speculation.
It's unfortunate, but anyway, still.
Just who do you have going to the finals?
He has the Lakers.
And the Lakers, okay. I think.
So you have the Lakers.
Now you sound like every Lakers fan.
Anyway, now let's get to the East.
Let me make it clear. The Lakers don't beat the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets are going to the finals. I think whoever wins that 2-7 matchup is going to go to the finals.
All right. Give me the East.
In our scenario, it would be Heat Celtics first round. All remember
Heat. It would be very, very funny if the Heat won and beat the Celtics in the first round. They're not doing it.
Heat and six.
I literally might take the Celtics at five.
Yeah, I'm leaning to Celtics five, Celtics and six.
I'm taking the Heat and six.
As we mentioned, I think the Celtics
Heat
team is
six.
The Celtics are regular season merchants. Oh, I've seen enough.
Anyway.
The Heat's team's not like quite what it is. No. And of course, this is speculative off of the matchup tonight. But then we got Cavs Orlando.
I have no idea. I literally have no idea. Like,
it's going to be such a poorly watched.
Like, no one's watching this. Yeah, like, no one's watching this. I'll take the Magic because I like their song. I'll take them in six. I don't know.
I'm going to take the Cavs in six. I think their experience in the playoffs last year, despite losing, will serve them a lot more.
Realistically, it doesn't matter who wins this game because they're not beating Boston.
Yes, that is the collective opinion. Yeah, there's a 0% chance either team unless Boston gets injured.
Unless Boston doesn't make it out of there, and then it's a whole thing. But, like, yeah, they're not beating Boston.
Yeah. Raj, who's your pick for the mid-off?
Oh, I said Cavs.
Yeah,
sorry, didn't hear that. Bucks, Pacers, which is going to be electric.
I just want the Bucks to
now,
win.
Asterisk, Giannis will be out probably for game one and two.
Still need the Bucks. I still want the Bucks winning.
You know what? Give me the Pacers. Why not?
Okay.
Give me them at seven.
My brain is telling me to pick the Pacers, but some part of me thinks that
the Bucks are going to figure it out.
The Bucks are going to figure it out enough so that Like the Pacers are very like explosive offense. They score a lot of points. Bucks defense isn't that good, but I do wonder if there's some point of now we're in playoff basketball and we're looking at matchups that they'll have a little bit more success. And then I think if Giannis does come back and it's 1-1, like I think all Giannis needs is 1-1 and he can take it from there. He's been really good this year and people haven't really talked about it. Again, I think the Pacers are a terrible matchup, so I could see them winning. I think the Bucks would win in 7. It would take a lot out of that team.
Yeah. Screw it. Give me the Pacers in 7.
Why Love not? It.
See, I need the Bucks, and what I don't care about how many games. I just need the Bucks.
You just need the Bucks.
Why
to
do you
win?
Need the Bucks?
Because then he wants the Sixers to play them. Yeah.
Yep.
I need the script to load.
So then now it's
the matchup that would break our group chat. The New York
it's
Knicks.
It's really not
going to
break the group chat because for those that don't know, Sixers fans, Knicks fan, also more Knicks fans in the group chat. It's really not because now that Randall's out, the Knicks really don't have a shot.
Yeah.
Like they just don't.
Yeah.
Like because they got everybody back, everybody was locked and loaded, and then Randall gets hurt, and it's like, oh, we're screwed. Like I'll take Sixers in like
most unbiased take. Yeah, Sixers either in 5 or 6.
Yeah. I love my Knicks. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love them. I would love for them to win the series. I just don't see a realistic way for them to do it.
I am disappointed that Julius Randle won't be there, guys.
Because then it would have been such a great series to like see both of them at full strength.
Oh,
like,
it was more because I still think the Sixers would kick their ass.
Unplug your mic in about half second.
I think the Sixers are just more built for like a playoff type environment.
Yeah.
Love Jalen Brunson. He's been fantastic this year. Way better than I ever thought he would be. But it's just going to be a really uphill battle for him to carry a Knicks team. I know they're 20-3 with OJ Anunoby in the lineup. Mm-hmm. I get that. I just don't. They're not. They haven't. If you look at the record against playoff teams, it's not really as strong as you'd hope for a 2 seed to be. They've definitely lucked out, which is no fault to the Knicks. They've had a ton of injuries this year. They've lucked out in standing wise, just because teams beneath them have been so injured.
They've just been like nuking each other.
Like for example, the Sixers are 2.5-3 games behind. 3 games. I don't know why I said 2.5. There's no half games right now. I think they're 3 games behind the Knicks this year. And Joel Embiid played like 40-some games. Like obviously that gets flipped there. The Bucks have had their own problems this year with coaching wise. You feel like it took a last minute win for them. So you kind of feel like, oh, okay, the Bucks, Sixers. So, okay, now the Knicks are more of the fourth best team. And I think that's where they are. I think they're the fourth best team in the East.
Yeah.
They're just unfortunately playing the second best team in the East.
Exactly.
Right now.
It just, the way the seeding worked.
It's unfortunate because the Knicks were in overtime against the Bulls. And they could have just kind of like lost the game, fell to the 3 seed and gotten the Pacers, which I would have taken the Knicks in the Pacers series.
Yeah.
And then you would have gotten a Milwaukee Sixers bloodbath. Instead, you have a Knicks Sixers matchup, which is very unfavorable for the Knicks. So it's unfortunate for them.
The Knicks just need a big man.
Yeah, they do. And I mean, it'd be great for them if they could win the series. It's just like,
I just don't know if they're doing it.
It's tough too, because we'll talk about team futures too, but like, I just don't know where the team can improve here. They've made so many trades already, but going with that would be the Celtics versus the Cavs.
Celtics
or Magic.
Celtics
and
like
we
four.
All
oh wait, I know I have the Heat, forgot.
Oh yeah, sorry, my bad. You got the Heat Cavs.
Give me the Heat again.
Shut up, you're the worst.
I'm writing emo Jimmy.
Oh my
emo
god.
Emo Jimmy.
Yes.
I do actually think the Cavs would be a pretty bad matchup for the Heat if that was to happen because of the way they run Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. But God, just seeing like if the Heat,
the power of friendship.
if the matchup of I hate the Heat so much. If the magic of the Heat and Magic happened, I would turn off my TV.
I know
exactly what's going to happen, and I don't want to watch it.
Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic.
God, the Heat.
Anyway, Celtics in 4. And, like, yeah, I guess either of those.
I think the Celtics would probably beat the Cavs in 5, yeah.
Yeah. Then we got Bucks versus Sixers.
The Sixers in 6. Doc Rivers finally sends the Sixers to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's
6 and 6.
I need the narrative.
Yeah.
I think it would be a fun, really fun series. Mm-hmm. I don't think Dame Lillard right now is not playing like he's much better than Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah.
And that's concerning because I think Embiid and Giannis are as close to a wash as you can get. Giannis is slightly better. And then it's like, all right, who's got the second, third, fourth best player? And it's like, I think you go down the list, it's the Sixers and they just play like more of a team.
Yeah.
People underestimating Sixers role players. They're not underestimating the team. They're underestimating the role players. Really good. Kelly Oubre, Tobias Harris. Kyle Lowry's been fantastic since he's been on the Sixers. And people have been campaign. That would be campaign revenge game.
Campaign.
Campaign has been really good.
Yeah, the campaign for campaign.
Yeah, campaign
for Pat Bev. That would be crazy. Little matchup there. But yeah, I think the Sixers role player has been really good. Nick Batum. We'll see if the Anthony Melton.
Ricky Council. Play.
Yeah. So then what? It's Sixers.
Sixers, Celtics in the Eastern Conference
Sixers
Finals.
Heat?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Okay, well, you have the Sixers going to the finals.
I have the Sixers going to the finals.
It's tough because on the one hand, the Celtics did beat the Sixers last year. On the other hand, it took them 7 games and the Sixers had Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
So you're saying the Sixers at the finals?
I think so, which scares me. Yeah. Because I really don't think the finals this year is going to be the Lakers and the Sixers. That sounds
like the worst matchup ever.
It sounds weird to me.
You have 2 7 seeds going to the finals.
Oh, that's a tough look.
Dude.
I'm going to, like,
yours might be cooked.
You might be cooked.
Listen, if you're listening to me right now, like, I'm taking the seeds out of it. I'm trying to pretend like the seeds don't exist because there's a 0% chance 2 7 seeds are making it. But I'm picking with my heart here.
You're an idiot. I have Boston going to the finals.
This is making me rethink this whole
thing. Yeah,
Lakers
genius.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm Nuggets Sixers finals.
Okay.
That's
Wait,
the final
what?
We
Did
all
you
want.
Switch from the Lakers?
I didn't like it. You're right. I didn't like the 2 7s making it.
Oh my God.
That was enough.
You
that was
just
enough.
Went. Wait. You just wasted like 30 minutes talking about how good the Lakers were and then immediately switched it up when I pointed out what their seed was.
It's not going to happen. Have you ever seen 2 7 seeds make the finals?
That's why I was pointing it out
I know,
from the beginning.
And that was a good point. That moved me.
Oh my God.
Love the Lakers. If they were a 6 seed, I'd feel differently, but they're not.
So a 6 and a 7 seed making it is so much better?
No, the Nuggets are a 2 seed. Oh, you mean if the Lakers, yeah. No. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to take the Nuggets now. But
how much time have we wasted? Jesus Christ.
Now, I still get to say if the Lakers win, I still get to say I predicted this would happen.
Shut up!
It's Nuggets in 7. LeBron's going to lose this game 7, and that's how they're going to make it through.
Oh my God. All get right. out.
I will update my bracket and officially submit it on the Instagram.
Jesus
Sixers Nuggets finals, which would be epic, and the Sixers would fall in 7. Unfortunately.
Okay, so we got Nuggets. I have Boston versus the Nuggets. Give me the Nuggets. Give me the Nuggets. Yeah, I'll give them in 7 too because I think Boston's still really good. Who do you have? You had what? Heat
Sixers. Sixers are gonna win that in probably 5 or 6.
So then Sixers versus who'd you have? Nugs?
Mavs.
Mavs. Oh my God.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That one's cooked.
And you know what? I've seen enough. The process will be
Give
complete.
Me the Sixers.
The process will be complete this season.
I'd cry if the Sixers.
Bring my hopes up. I want to feel pain every
Give
year.
Give Kelly Oubre a ring.
Please.
He needs it.
Sign him, keep him, anything, please.
Blank check. Gosh. All right, this was horrible.
We'll continue to check in on how everything is going. Obviously, this is like a first round prediction. We really talked about this way longer than I thought. We knew we were going to talk long about this.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. Anyway, I have a lot of basketball takes. Anyway, we'll
yeah,
see.
Clearly,
we'll see more later.
You have 2 7 seeds making the finals.
I could talk about basketball for hours.
Oh my God.
Okay, we're moving on. Mock draft time. So how the mock draft is going to work is we're going to randomly pick who gets the first pick, the second pick, and the third pick. And then we're going to just alternate. So Peter gets the first pick.
He will also
pick 4.
Yeah.
And then we can make trades with each other.
Yeah.
And we're going to pick what we would do, but also with some level of realism. For example, it's very obvious Chicago is going to pick Caleb Williams. So there's not going to be a trade in that scenario. Or like it's pretty obvious that I don't even know what else is obvious. I think the New York Jets are not going to, like, they're just going to stick at their pick.
Yeah.
So, like, that might be.
Like, sure, I could say, oh, well, I'm going to trade up to first overall and I'm going to send the rest of this team's career picks to go to. No, it's stupid.
So, we can do all that, but we're going to just kind of give a sense of it'll talk about what we think each team needs and what they should do.
Yes.
So,
and working with this, we're using the NFL mock draft database simulator. So, shout out to them. But, good Lord. You need to figure out your algorithm for trades because the stupidest trades imaginable are on this site. So for those that don't know, I was very bored at work on Tuesday in between patients. And I was just like, all right, I'll look and I'll just like try to use this, make some trades, see what we can do. And I did a draft as the Giants. I'm like, okay, because that's my team. I'll see like what we can do. It gets to my pick. I have 6 different trade offers. And I'm like, okay, these are like stupid. at the end, who do you think is trading for the number six overall pick? I just want like a wild guess. Who would you think would trade for the number six overall pick?
The Chiefs.
No.
No.
The team Broncos? Played them at one point. Nope. Nope. It was the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, boy. Wow.
For a receiver?
So they did draft a receiver. You want to know what they traded for? Like what they no, what they gave to the Giants? Only can trade draft picks.
Yeah.
Oh.
So what do you think? What do you
Well, it would have to be the first this year. So like 30. Nope.
A fourth and a fifth.
Nope.
Next year's fifth and sixth.
Next year's second?
So this is going to take a while. They did not trade this year's first. They traded this year's second, third, fourth. Next year's first, second, third, fifth.
What?
For one pick. They traded an entire draft.
That's crazy.
To move up to six to draft Rome Odunze. Oh, and in that same draft, you want to know who the Bears selected first overall? J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so this is why we needed to be selecting these.
Yep. So we're going to go through here. We got a random wheel here.
Yes.
This is for who will pick first.
This is for who's number one overall.
No one wants the first pick because it's there.
First annual draft. It is me. God damn it.
All right, Peter, here's the hot take time. Who are you picking with the first overall pick?
All right. Hot take. I am drafting Caleb Williams. Woo! Who would have guessed?
Anyway. I mean, they tried to make a story of it early on.
It doesn't matter. He's going 1-1. It don't matter.
Yeah.
No discussion.
Very clear at this point. The Commanders actually, they invited a bunch of quarterbacks to play Topgolf in D.C. And Caleb Williams wasn't even invited because everyone knows he's going to Chicago.
Yep.
Is that obvious?
All right. Justin Raj. See who we got.
I'm ready.
Who's ready? Justin.
God, I wanted the Giants. Okay.
No, does that mean Raj gets the Giants? No. You bastard.
All right. This is, again, this is not what I would do because I think it's very clear at this point.
Yeah.
I think the Commanders are going to draft Jaden Daniels.
Okay. I agree with that.
He's a very similar quarterback. Mm-hmm. Not similar, but he's got some similar things to Kyler Murray, who Cliff Kingsbury coached. And he had a really good season. So I would personally not do this if I was Washington, to be clear. But I'm not changing that pick because I think it's likely what's going to happen, and I'm going to keep this intact. So Jaden Daniels goes to the Commanders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that because that's just what, like, there's been a lot of rumblings. I think Adam Schefter literally is quoted saying he's doubled down on his take that they're going to be drafting him second overall. So I think I would agree with that one. All right, so Raj, you got New England.
Drizzy May.
You're drafting Drake May?
Yep.
All right.
I think this is an interesting spot for the Patriots because I actually think a lot of trade down potential could be there.
So I have Arizona and then.
Yeah, remember, trades are live here.
I know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. So I have Chicago, Arizona, 1-2, Tennessee, now 1-2-3, Jets. Now, whoever's Minnesota should trade up into that spot. I think that would be Justin. Oh, wait. Yeah, Justin. Wait, you should trade into that spot.
Into what, five?
Into three.
No, I don't want to trade into three.
Okay, that's fine.
Caveman.
Drake May. Wait,
Did I get the Vikings?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so passionate about this. Okay.
Oh my god.
I was thinking of the teams I wanted to win over here.
All right. So you just have Drake May.
I
guess May
I should probably figure out what teams I have.
All right. Well, Drake May goes to New England. I think that does a very good job at giving them their quarterback. I think he is basically the exact opposite of Mac Jones.
Yeah.
He is all potential and zero poise.
Like I always say, Alabama quarterbacks have no success in the NFL.
Jalen Hurts is an Oklahoma product.
Ding, 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 ding.
But I would agree with that because it gives them like a true, like this dude's got a cannon of an arm. He's young. He can be developed. I think Gerard Mayo, I think as that head coach over there, I think he's like, you know, young head coach. He understands what the modern offenses will need. I think they'll be able to figure it out over there. I think that's a great pick. And now with Arizona,
I guess we didn't think this through enough. Because
that's what I was saying.
Can we pause right here and get a list of our teams?
After further discussion, once we actually figured out who we were picking and everything, because this is a clearly very professional podcast here, we now know who we're actually choosing so we can make trades. Yep. All right. So
at four, a trade spot for sure.
I'm not trading this. Well, Arizona is 110% taking Marvin Harrison Jr. They should take Marvin Harrison. You are not, like, I could see passing up for like the for a Malik Nabers or a Roma Dunze. You are not passing on Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah, dude came into college a professional athlete. This dude is, he literally is, if Marvin Harrison had a son who was 6'4", like, that's what you're getting. A Hall of Famer. Like, this, there you go. You're not passing that up for Kyler Murray.
Yep. Agreed. All right.
So,
my pick, Chargers, has also been a place where people think there could be trades. So, I don't know if any of you have trades for me.
Do you have any? So, are you willing to trade that?
Very unwilling.
Very unwilling?
Unless you have a good offer.
Okay, wait. Let me see who's still on the board.
You've got J.J. McCarthy's obviously on the board.
Neighbors, a dude's neighbor, McCarthy.
Because I had Vegas, because I saw that Vegas was looking into trading up for Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. But now that he's off the board, I don't think I'm going to trade up with
because
any of my teams.
I'm resistant to do this because what I am going to do is draft Joe Alt. And so this has been a This has been something that I've been thinking about the Chargers. This is more of what I would do. I'm not necessarily sure they will do this. The Chargers have a really gutted roster. They had to get rid of a lot of players for cap reasons, and I don't think they're in the business of competing for the playoffs or really a title next year. Maybe they sneak into the playoffs, but I think what would be best for them is to shore up the other tackle position. They have Rashawn Slater, who's been really good. Shore up the right tackle side and really build your offensive line trenches. Joe Alt is, I think, the safest bet in this entire draft. I think if there's one player that I know is going to be an All-Pro, it will be Joe Alt.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. And I think you just shore up the position right there, get good in the trenches, have another rough year, and then you can start drafting skill players later in
the
draft.
You got to build the trenches first before you get the
position. And just, I think with receivers even, I think Malik Nabers and Adunze are going to be really good. They're still riskier than just Joe Alt. High-graded tackles usually always work out, and I think just for the Chargers, they really need just a really solid pick. Mm-hmm. I know it's not necessarily a position of need for them, but when you have a guy like Joe Alt who's just so talented, I just really like that for the Chargers.
Yep, I really like that too. All right, Raj, you dropped him for the Giants.
And with the sixth pick in the 2024.
By the way, I would love to trade up into the spot if you're other teams, but I just don't think the Giants would ever trade this pick.
I don't think they're trading this, especially with whoever's available there.
With the sixth pick in the 2024 NFL Coconut Curry Podcast Draft. The New York Football Giants select Malik Nabers.
Oh, okay. You drafted J.J. McCarthy. I was going to punch you in the
head. If Malik Nabers is still on the board, you got to take him.
You got to take him.
You have Jones for another
year. I swear to God, if you say they're going to draft J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, I 100% think if he's there at 60, they're drafting him. They love J.J. McCarthy by all reports. Like, love him.
Because they're setting the smoke screens so that way other teams draft quarterbacks early so that way a receiver falls to them.
Okay, I know I like sitting there and picking Malik Nabers. I think it's smart. I think it's silly to just waste.
Yes,
Daniel Jones's like contract. I think that if in that situation the Giants get J.J. McCarthy at six, I think they'll draft him. But it could be a smoke screen.
Yeah,
it's so hard to tell with teams.
Okay,
Tennessee pissed to see Joe Alt off the board.
Absolutely furious. I was honestly kind of surprised that Joe Alt went with the Chargers right there. They are absolutely furious because they would have loved to have Joe Alt there.
Would you consider a trade
for Tennessee? For who?
I as a Jags would love to make a big splash and trade up to this spot.
What are you trading?
Let me check my picks.
What do the Jags have?
I've never really seen the Jags trade in this spot.
Jags have 17.
Okay. Yes, that you'll get 17.
Okay, so it's swaps and then what?
Guys, I know that they're not interested in that pick. I know this is like not based. A lot of people haven't put this. I would like to trade my first 17 this year.
Turn that shit off, bro.
I would like to trade 17, 96, and a second next year.
Okay, so wait. So you're saying you would? Let me organize this. Okay, so Tennessee would receive.
Who are they trading with? The Jags?
Jags.
Where would they be?
Jack. Okay, so Tennessee will be sending seven.
Again, we're not going to get into like too much pick drama here because like I think
96
can make it work.
And what?
I would like to trade my first, so 17 for
17, 96, and.
And then a second and a third from next year.
Second and a
to
third.
To get up into the spot.
Year.
I know Pro Football Focus doesn't say, but I don't. They didn't even say that. They're saying that the Jags aren't even interested in this pick. So
you know what? Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take that. All right.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good trade. I like that.
And the reason I'm doing this is because
wait, it won't let me click.
Just figure it out just meander it. Just send some other picks from.
Oh, I can't make this trade.
Because... Well, no. Just send some BS from Tennessee for like.
Oh,
next
so
year.
I'm on Pro Football Focus because I've used it before. So
yeah,
I can't do
just
it.
Just do this.
Random picks. And the reason I'll just matter, pick here. I'm just kind of the Titans. The reason I am picking this here is I want to draft Roma Dune. Oh wait, you have the pick. Technically, still we didn't. Oh, you'll just take the Titans later in that spot.
Well, you can just go into the draft. Or no, you're doing Pro Football.
Yeah, it's fine. You're going to pick as the Titans later in that spot.
Yes.
The reason I'm doing this is draft Roma Dunze. I think the underrated story of this all has been the Jags have no receiver talent. Calvin Ridley left. Christian Kirk. And if you're Trevor Lawrence and you're trying to if you're the Jags and you're trying to figure out if Trevor Lawrence is that guy, you need to get a big time receiver in the room. Mm-hmm. I think getting Roma Dunze puts your receiver room a lot better and you can actually start to evaluate if this guy's good or not.
I was just about to say, I've actually watched some tape on Roma Dunze. This is a guy on YouTube. I think it's I forget his name, something Coleman. But he does like a breakdown of like a bunch of like the top prospects, and like one of the things that like was an issue with Rome was like, okay, well, he doesn't get like a ton of separation, that could be like a knock on him and stuff. But the thing is that that's kind of his style essentially. Like, he doesn't need that kind of separation. Like, that's not like his type of receiver. Like, he is a very big body physical receiver that runs through contact and stuff. So he doesn't have like breakaway speed like a Malik Nabers. But you throw the ball in this dude's zip code, he's getting that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had, I think it was like a 63% catch rate on contested catches, which was 13% higher than anybody else in the draft.
Nuts.
Which is insanity.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, you have Trevor Lawrence, shuck this guy up the rock, he'll go and get it.
Yeah. And so I'm also at the Falcons here at 8. I love the trade out of this pick, except for the fact that I don't think anybody trades up here because
there's somebody that is so free for that you should be drafting right now.
I'll go into that. But I do think like this would be a spot here where the Falcons are upset because the Bears at 9, the Jets at 10 are clearly not taking JJ McCarthy. And I think
nobody would. Yeah, it's going to be falling.
Yeah. So I think that'll be interesting there. Who I'm going to go with here is I'm going to go shore up my defense a little bit, and I'm going to get Brian Murphy, the interior defensive lineman.
All right.
For defense.
Where the hell is he?
Byron Murphy. Scroll down a little bit further.
He's from Texas.
Texas,
I think that
even after he got arrested?
I did not know he got arrested, to be honest.
Jalen Carter, too.
But I'm going to draft him there. I think they obviously need help on the defensive line. I'm sure up that defense a little bit. Their offense is pretty good intact. They don't need to focus on the offense.
Yeah. Yep.
There's talks there about them drafting Dallas Turner, about Jared Verse.
That was the person I saw that there was like heavily, heavily hinted at they might be drafting. If he's on the board, Dallas Turner would be going there.
I see a defensive lineman a little bit more as a position in need for them, but I could see him going with a defender in that spot.
Well, because they already have Calais Campbell. I think he's still back there. So he's a defensive tackle there. Mm-hmm. So I could see either both trains of thought where it's like you either draft a young defensive lineman to train under him, or you still have somebody there for a little bit, you draft an edge. Yep. I could see either train of thought there. Which, with either of those guys, you really can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you really can't. So, yeah, now you're drafted for Chicago.
So, with their high-powered offense, which is already loaded because of
offseason trades. Yeah, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, now Caleb Williams. Yep. They have
DeAndre Swift.
They still have Cole Kmet. Mm-hmm. Plenty of people on offense. Who you go with?
You got to go defense. Invest in the defense. Dallas Turner.
Good. Yeah. Him and Montez Sweat would be, like, an amazing duo right there.
I think if Dallas Turner was selected by the Falcons, I think they would actually just select Brian Murphy down there below. Yeah, like, I think that
I can see that. Well, I can see that. There. I can see Jared Verse too.
Yeah,
I can see absolutely those guys going. Okay, so now I'm drafting for the Jets. So
JJ Mc.
Okay, you need to hear me out here. So they should draft a lineman here. They're not going to. They should absolutely shore up this offensive line because they have a lot of old guys. They're kind of pushing their chips on the table, saying, we're going to win now, right? What they should do realistically is draft an interior offensive lineman, draft another tackle, whatever, to really protect Rodgers. I don't think they're going to do that. Because if Brock Bowers is still on the board, I think they take him. Because he is not only an incredible receiver, he is a very solid run blocker. And he's not like, I wouldn't say that he's like a George Kittle run blocker, where it's like literally adding a sixth offensive lineman. But he's sort of like an in-between hybrid of Kelce and Kittle, where it's like he might not be, he's better at receiving than Kittle, but he's not as good at blocking, but he's not as good at receiving as Kelce, but he's better at blocking.
Yeah.
And the terrifying thing is that I've seen some other draft comps putting him almost exactly similar to Aaron Hernandez as the player, to be very clear, just as the player. Yeah. But he's a very, very good prospect for them. And I think that would sure up. You would give Garrett Wilson help, help some blocking on the inside. Yeah.
Wait, Bowers, right? Just making sure.
Bowers. Yeah, okay. Bowers.
Before I click something wrong.
Brock Bowers feels like a Jets player to me.
He does.
I would probably prefer them to take a tackle here.
Fell to Minnesota.
So obviously on the board is JJ McCarthy.
You better draft him.
You have to.
If you said the Giants were drafting him, you better make the Vikings draft him.
I'm curious as to, Raj, if you would be interested in coming up one pick with the Broncos to select.
There's no way Minnesota's. If JJ McCarthy is there, there's no way that Minnesota is going to be drafting.
Here's my theory. He's going to be drafting. Well, first of all, I would like to know if you'd be interested in that.
To trade up one spot.
To trade up one spot.
For JJ McCarthy.
Because the Raiders are surely making offers for 11 at this point.
I'm good.
Is Denver really in a position to win now?
No, like they're not.
Like, they're rebuilding.
You can take JJ.
Sean,
go ahead.
Sean Payton is there. So if you're not going to trade up for the pick,
no.
Peter, would you want to trade up from the Raiders spot?
From the Raiders now, that's a different story.
And the reason I'm proposing this for the Vikings is, I actually think the Vikings really need to focus on defensive talent on their team. Their offense is pretty loaded, and Sam Darnold's not, in my opinion, like just a bum to the point where like I think maybe they still draft. I know people think JJ's going to go really high, and I think he'll get selected at 11 if no other team comes up for the pick. But the reason I'm from the Vikings, I want to trade out of is I'm not sure necessarily, especially in year one when the Vikings are trying to win now, if JJ McCarthy offers much more than Sam Darnold. And I also have a pick later down in the draft at 23 where I think Bo Nix or Michael Penix could be, who could maybe sit for a year behind Sam. So that's why I'm interested in trading at pick 11.
So let me just do this.
Hang on. I think you could actually get quite a bit from the Raiders, even just to move up one or two picks. But obviously...
So this is 11. All right. So we're trading 13 for 11.
Yep.
And then
I would be looking at your second round pick next year.
Second round pick next year. Is that an Amber Alert?
Yeah. Nice little Amber Alert right here.
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was like, what's
not my... Amber Alert. Sorry. Thunderstorm watch.
Thunderstorm warning. Yeah, no. Okay.
I'm so
how about a third off this year?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
So. Yeah. My 108.
Hang on.
2 minutes into the game, it's 2-0.
Hold up, let me do this. So wait, so I'm trading you. No, I was saying instead of next year's second, I could trade you this year's third.
Okay, that's fine.
So I'll give you. I'm giving you 13 and 77, and, and you're giving me 11. All right, cool.
I can't do that, but yeah,
that's fine.
Nick Nurse is so
Then I would say that the Raiders would go up.
And the reason this is what I want the Vikings to do again. I don't think they need JJ McCarthy right here.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're going to take JJ McCarthy.
Yeah, I'll take McCarthy there. Because I think right now, the Raiders are interesting
What was the trade?
Let me make this clear. If JJ McCarthy falls to 11, I do think the Vikings probably end up drafting him. I don't think they should though.
It's just do Minnesota and Vegas and then just whatever trade. It doesn't fucking matter.
Also, I just like to acknowledge, I don't people are talking about JJ McCarthy being a.
I don't think he should even be a first round pick. I'm not going to.
Oh, so I think he totally should be a first round pick. I just don't think what he offers skill set wise is much different than what they have from Sam Darnold. And so I think for a team that has a lot of needs on their roster, their skill positions in Minnesota are great. They have a lot of other needs, and I just don't.
My thing is that when you look at what JJ McCarthy did, he's a distributor. He's the prototypical Brock Purdy.
He's Kirk Cousins.
He's Kirk Cousins but younger.
Tannehill.
He's Brock Purdy.
I think their team just excels a lot more if you're the Vikings. If you can go draft a skill player, the gap between a new edge rusher, let's say, and their current edge rusher is a lot higher than their gap between Sam Darnold and JJ McCarthy. In my opinion,
the more I'm thinking about this, the more I hate this pick. The more I don't think the Raiders should do this. But you know what? Screw it. This is what we're doing. It's the Raiders. I don't care.
So, Raj, you're on the clock here with the Broncos.
I feel like you gotta you got a pick that you should do. That's right at the top of the board, right there.
What? Tarian Arnold. Yeah. We'll go with him.
Yeah.
You need to invest in the defense. Put him with Simmons.
Nope.
Is that his name? No.
Pat Surtain.
Surtain. Yeah.
I say you do that. You reunite Alabama corners together.
Yeah.
Alabama
skill positions are very like good.
Because, look, at this point, the offense of the Broncos is not good. And, like, the offensive players that are still available at this point, it's going to be, you're going to be reaching on everybody. Because the defense, it's like top tier offense is already gone. And then you have now top tier defense.
Yep.
And you're just going to make the no fly zone again.
Yep.
And you have Surtain on one side, Arnold on the other. Like,
yep,
disgusting. Yeah, absolutely disgusting.
And I'm here at 13. I traded back. And I'm gonna get drafted Jazar Newton, interior defensive guy from Illinois. Big position of need for mm-hmm. them. Obviously, not an edge rusher. They lost Neil Hunter this offseason. I think you go sure up a big key part of that defense. And I think that makes massive improvements on their team. He's a little bit small. Like, I'm not comparing him to Aaron Donald.
His frame is like an Aaron Donald.
He's really fast, and I think that can sure up a big defensive problem for them. When they really need that. So
yep.
I'm going to draft there. And
all right. Who's drafting for the Saints now?
I am.
Oh my God.
I hate the Saints, as people have noted. They really need a tackle because they drafted Trevor
Penning
a lot of years ago, and that didn't work out. So I'm going to draft Talese Fuaga from Oregon State.
Yep. Perfect. Love it. I love that pick.
And if Fuaga falls to 14, they're going to be ecstatic.
They're going to be so happy. Absolutely. And then you're drafting for the Colts, I believe.
Yep.
Cool.
The Colts should be really happy with who fell to them right here.
Yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
invest in the defense.
Such a kid's from Toledo.
Yeah.
Doesn't go against much talent, but is a freak. Like,
yeah. He's like a Sauce Gardner kind
yeah,
of thing. Where it's, he's from like a really small school, but like he's got all of the intangibles for a corner in the
yeah.
league. Yeah. So, because I think he's a lot more raw than somebody like an Arnold, who is just like a pure, like, it is almost like where you had Derek Stingley and Sauce in, I forget which draft that was a couple of years back, but where it's like you have one is like the athletic freak. He's got all the intangibles. Yeah. He's a true like lockdown big man guy. And the other one is just like flawless technique, is like always in the other and the offensive player's pocket. Nobody even throws in the ball kind of thing. That it's like that kind of dynamic.
And the Colts need a cornerback so bad.
Absolutely. Seattle, The thing is, like, we keep saying, like, oh, if these players fall, like, to these positions, but like players are going to fall.
Yeah,
like they just have to.
Especially, I think cornerback, offensive tackle, and cornerbacks are going to fall because there's so many of them in this draft.
Yeah,
in the first round, and when that happens, it's like, oh, okay, what's the difference between Nate Wiggins and Terran Arnold? All very small. So like,
yeah,
people are willing to just kind of wait them out a little bit. Whereas, like, for example, quarterback, like, they're going high, like.
Because
I don't think Jaden Daniels is the second best player in this draft, but
he has to go that high.
Quarterbacks are so valuable. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Seattle would cry if Jared Verse landed in their lap like that.
Yeah.
That would be an amazing pickup for them because they really need to be able to put more pressure on the quarterback. And he's the real deal. Like, he's a very, very solid prospect.
Yeah.
One of those more just like safe prospects. He's like a little bit smaller. He's not like huge. He's not like a Myles Garrett kind of edge rusher. But he's still like, he's legit. So
yeah.
they would cry if they got
it. And you're back on the clock here.
I am back on the clock with Tennessee. Detroit. So they would also be fairly happy with this if Fashanu from Penn State.
Absolutely.
The tackle fell right there, right back in their lap. So fine. They couldn't get Joe Alt. They couldn't get like the big white dude that would literally replace who is the dude that was on the Titans forever? That would always fight people. You know, it's number 77. He has a podcast. It's Busting with the Boys. I'm literally naming everything about this dude and I'm forgetting his name.
God
damn it. All right, whatever. You know who I'm talking about.
Draymond Green, anyway.
But yeah, you get the big left tackle. He is, his technique is absolutely incredible. He's a little bit on the smaller side. He's only like 6'4" instead of the Joe Alt, who's like 6'8" or something like that. But he's got flawless technique, great left tackle to be able to pair with Will Levis down there.
I think if they're the Jags, you're like, you think you just hit a home run. I think this trade would work
benefited
out
both
perfectly.
Teams, I think, yeah.
Like Jags really, I mean, Jags could listen, they could use offensive help too, like offensive line help too, but like they get a receiver, which I think they really just
this
need
is a, like a very even trade, I would
say. Yeah, and then you trade back, still get a great guy who's maybe like 80% of what Alt is currently.
Exactly.
But then you get all this future draft pick talent. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that worked out really well.
Yeah.
And then Raj, I think you're on the clock with the Bengals.
No, that's me. Yeah.
Oh, that's me.
No, Bengals are me.
Oh, okay, cool.
I have every three.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm in an interesting spot here.
You are.
Because Burrow needs O-line help.
They're upset that Brock Bowers didn't fall. They would totally draft him if he was there.
Yep. The issue is, I don't know if Tyler Boyd is leaving.
It looks like he might be.
If he's leaving, you might want to get Brian Thomas.
Are you trying to pair up another LSU receiver?
Feels a little early for me to get some of these receivers.
You know what? The Bengals' motto is, screw the old line. Joe Burrow will be fired.
We're taking Brian Thomas Jr.
That honestly, you convinced me that they would do this because
of that.
Of that. Because
they had attention. They had the chance to draft Penei Sewell instead of Jamar Chase. They did it.
Yep.
They absolutely did.
Fantastic.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Wow. The Rams are pumped.
They have
some really good options.
Absolutely pumped. They are going to go with, I don't really know how to say it. It's Latte Latu. Yeah.
Iced caramel macchiato latte with a side of cold foam.
They're very happy that, because he's probably, second, third best edge rusher in the draft. They need edge rusher talent in there. They're a little bit pissed that, Byron Thomas, the tackle from Texas, didn't fall to them. Byron Murphy, just a literally plug and play Aaron Donald, but whatever. They're still very happy with this one.
Yeah, and I think he's a little bit older guy, a lot of injury history, but I think that kind of works with Sean McVay.
Yeah.
A little bit like an old, veteran guy.
Yep. Also stays in LA.
Yeah, it's actually a great pick. Yeah, I think that's cool. Steelers here, an interesting spot. I think they have a lot of team needs. But I'm going to come up and take the first center in the draft and draft Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon.
I like that.
Really great. They really just could, they'll put him right at center, shore up that offensive line a bit. I do see being a little bit high, but I don't think if they don't get him here, I think a team a little bit more down the board gets him, and then they just miss out on the opportunity. Considering Troy Fatanu here, considering J.C. Latham and Amarius Mims, but Jackson Powers Johnson is clearly the best center in the draft, and I think they'll just go up and take him here.
Yeah. I think it's you with Miami.
Is it me again?
I
believe. 21.
So you got a tackle.
Tackles.
Is Armstead still at Miami, or did he retire?
Oh gosh, I have no idea.
Ooh.
I don't. They might need tackle help.
That's what I'm thinking. All the tackles are suggested too, anyways.
Yeah.
Do I go Bama boy or do I go Washington?
Go Washington.
Yeah.
Go Washington. He's a better
Troy
prospect.
We'll go Troy Fatanu.
Yeah. I would say, because I think you damn well know you got to protect Tua.
Do not screw the Eagles here.
Well, the Eagles, as Eagles stand, they're pumped here.
Before we get to the Eagles, for Miami, great pick for them. Need a tackle. Got to shore up that offensive line because they are a very fast-paced offense. They need to have the trenches there so that way they can get it going.
One point. Pro Football Focus has wide receivers and Eagles need. I don't know what crack you're smoking, really good.
They just re-signed.
They have Devontae Smith, AJ Brown, Dallas
Goedert. They can figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know why their need is listed as wide receivers.
So here's what we got. They got two corners they're going to go for. They got Cooper DeJean and they got Nate Wiggins. So Cooper DeJean, a lot more athlete kind of talent. He struggles a bit on the outside, which against really top tier players. In the slot, though, he's a monster. He's an absolute monster. The slot reminds me of, I would say, 80% of Trent McDuffie, right? Nate Wiggins is another one of those just, very solid overall kind of players. Still have Darius Slay. Still have James Bradbury.
Unfortunately.
But genuinely, I think because James Bradbury is still going to be there. He's a good zone corner.
Please. Sorry.
All right, calm down. So Bradbury's a good zone corner. He can go up against number threes. He gets aired out when it comes to the slot, as we saw in the Super Bowl. That's why I think they go Cooper DeJean.
Yep. I like Cooper DeJean here as an Eagles fan because you can do a lot with him. Of course, the white guy, they're like, oh, we're going to move him to safety.
Reed.
Sidney Jarrett-Johnson's there for now. But when he eventually leaves, you can kind of move him into the spot. I think he can do a lot all over the field. He might develop as an outside guy. And for the time being, you have Slay and Bradbury on the outside.
That's what I'm saying.
And for this year, you can put him on the inside. Similar to Trent McDuffie is a great comp here. You put him in the slot. Now, Snead leaves. McDuffie comes to the outside.
Yeah.
Cooper DeJean, year in the slot, be really strong there. Move to the outside, replace Bradbury next year.
Yeah.
Love that.
That's what I'm saying there. And then
I'm at the Vikings here, and this is why I didn't draft J.J. McCarthy, because I think the Vikings might say, hey, we have the talent. We're just going to wait down the board and draft Bo Nix.
Okay. I was wondering if you're going to do Mr. Penis or Bo Nix. Yeah.
So I go Bo Nix here because he's a little bit older, veteran. I think he actually will sit behind Darnold for a first couple of games. Mm-hmm. And if he wins that spot outright in training camp, he will play a little bit like game 5-6. If not, he just sits for the entire year.
Also is a right-handed quarterback, which does impact skill position players. Yep. Not as much, obviously, yeah, but still an impact, and also a much shorter list of injuries.
Yep. I like that a lot over Penix. And again, I just think the difference that Bo Nix and JJ McCarthy might offer for the teams a lot versus where at 11, dropping down to 13, I was able to get a defensive guy. So I feel like I've shored up the defense a little bit and then still gotten a quarterback who can develop.
Yeah. And I think Bo Nix he's got like a better arm and stuff than somebody like a JJ McCarthy, but he is that distributor. You saw it on the Oregon offense, incredibly fast paced pro style offense. Excuse me. He'd be great at that because you have, well, for now, you have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson. Like you have plenty of guys to distribute the ball to. Shanahan style offense. I think that's a great pick.
Yeah. I like the idea that I could get Penix or Bo Nix down the board at 23 that. And versus at earlier, I just wanted to get a
really good defense.
I really wanted to improve a big weakness on the team.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I also think maybe I'm a little bit higher on Sam Darnold. I actually think Sam Darnold could play a full season there, similar to how like a Jameis Winston played a full season.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit higher. Maybe that might be like why I think this way. But anyway.
All right.
Dallas.
No, oh, good. Good God. They're drafting a
bunch. Where is Blake Corum at 71?
Blake Corum. Okay, wait. Try to be at least a little bit realistic. They lost a tackle. Their offensive line need some help in there.
Oh, we'll take away them. They need someone.
That's good. So tackle from Alabama. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not an Evan Neal situation again. But he seems pretty solid. Again, I have no idea because apparently nobody knows how to draft tackles from Alabama. So I don't know. Anyway, Green Bay. Oh my God, Nate Wiggins, get him on this team immediately. Yep. This is a disgusting secondary for Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they now have Jair Alexander, Xavier McKinney, Nate Wiggins. That is disgusting.
Yep. Well, you see, so this is Nate Wiggins still being there is just a result of how talented the cornerback class is and the fact that people fell for that reason. You feel like maybe a team like the Raiders would draft a cornerback earlier if there were only one or two great ones in the class. But there's so many good ones, they followed on the board.
Yeah, I think that would be something. If the Raiders don't trade up for a quarterback, I think they take I think they take one of those top corners.
Yeah, absolutely. Position. And even teams like the Steelers, if Jackson Powers Johnson doesn't get there,
pair Joey Porter Jr. with whoever.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoever's up there.
So just because of talent, that would be a great pickup. I think the Green Bay would like turn the card in 5 seconds.
They would, I think they would announce the previous pick and the person would be running up with the card onto the stage, shoving Roger Goodell out of the way and announcing Nate Wiggins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the Bucs here, Amarius Mims is a freak athlete and he's really big, but they really need more interior help. Graham Barton from Duke has been said to play
all
three positions. They said that he can play tackle, guard, or center. They really need guard or center help. So let's just get him a guy they can put all over the offensive line and just fill a hole there.
Very solid. Because honestly, like with these top tier interior offensive linemen, you really can't go wrong with them. Like any year, like if you're able to get one of those like top three, top four interior offensive linemen, add them to your team.
Yep.
Don't even hesitate because linemen will go down. They'll be injured. You need rotational guys. And to have somebody with that tier of talent even be like, fine, maybe they're not a starter initially. Mm-hmm. Like how the Eagles, they drafted Cam Jurgens. They knew eventually he was going to need to slide over to center with Jason Kelce being older. But that you got to get some of these like guys in rotation now to get those reps. I really like that
for sure. I think the Cardinals are thrilled with the board right now.
Yep.
27.
They could do, they wouldn't draft tackle because they already have Paris Johnson, who was okay this past year. He wasn't amazing, but, you know, obviously he's very young.
Mm-hmm.
Who's drafting for them? Yeah.
I think with Buddha getting older on the defense, you have other picks going down the line. You're going to have to take Kool-Aid.
Yeah, you take Kool-Aid McKinstry there. I love that pick. Thoughts, Justin?
Yeah, I like it. I was actually looking more towards like possibly going a little bit deeper and drafting Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia. It would be a pick for them. They need some interior line help.
They need everything.
They need a lot of help.
The Cardinals have another pick in like 6 or 7.
Yeah, I also don't think they could go wrong with just drafting like a Marius Mims and just being like, yeah, we have a little, we can move one inside if we need to or whatever. But I don't mind Khalid McKinstry at all.
Because the Cardinals need everything. So it's
I think you've completely screwed over my team, the Lions, at 29.
BBL Lowry.
But I think it's a good pick.
Oh, no. Yeah, because then it's Buffalo up now. Yeah, and then so now Buffalo would get.
The Lions are pissed, but I don't think they're trading up any picks to go get Kool-Aid there.
No. So Buffalo desperately needs receivers. They go Adonai Mitchell from Texas. Yep. Very solid receiver right there. With a pick they're getting him at, insane. At 28 right there, that is an awesome value for what he is. Again, not one of those top, I mean, because right now it's like 1A, 1B with Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and then after that, it's clear it's Rome Odunze. Yep. But, you know, these other receivers, like, they aren't, they're still very, very good, but they're just not that, like, top tier. But I mean, with Josh Allen, this dude's going to look great.
Yep. So. The Lions here, they're going to go down the board a tad to go draft Chop Robinson.
Good. Edge from Penn State. Good, good, good. That was what I was looking at for him.
Yeah, yep. I think they could use some edge help here. He's a freak athlete. The Lions are fortunate to have a young and good team. I think they can afford to get a guy who might need a year to ease into the system, but could be dominant in a couple of years.
Him and Hutch on either side is horrifying.
And I think the idea that you could let him slide to the Ravens at 30, or just let a team like in the early second round come up and take him, is like, just get him now, secure him.
Yep. And then who's got?
I got the Ravens.
Ravens, pretty easy. Yeah, pick right
tackle.
There. Yeah, tackle. Amarius Mims from Georgia. Mm-hmm. Big body athlete.
He's huge.
He's so, yeah. This is going to get clipped. But yeah, they just need tackle help. They just need to shore up that offensive line.
I can tell you that the 49ers are pissed.
They are pissed. They want him.
They would have taken him.
They would have taken him. Although they could get Tyler
Guyton. Guyton's good.
Guyton's good there. I just don't, because they need, I don't know. Because like, they need tackle help, because they need somebody opposite of Trent Williams. They don't need edge help. They need kind of defensive linemen, but most of the good defensive linemen are kind of off the board at this point.
Yeah, I think the 49ers are in a bad spot here.
They really are. Because, I mean, there's Brandon Frisk, who's like really good from Florida State, but like at 31, yeah, like he's not.
I would mention, I think this could be a trade up position for a team who wants a receiver.
Yeah.
We're not going to make trades out of the first round.
So I'll give them Tyler Guyton there. Tackle out of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're in love with that pick, but I mean, you can't really go wrong with a solid tackle, because like they need, they live and die by Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So shoring up that offensive line, obviously need it right there.
Yeah.
All right, KC.
To be very clear, I think they would draft Amarius Mims if he fell to 32, being Kansas City. But I think they're creaming at the idea that Troy Franklin is still there as a receiver help. So I think they go draft Troy Franklin.
Okay.
Troy Franklin.
Troy Franklin. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So they draft Troy Franklin. All right. Cool.
So that's a draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess
the first round. Yeah.
As a debrief, and we'll post this on our social media, hopefully. I don't know if you guys have an image of the first round or anything like that.
I can print it out.
Okay. Because I can't make the trades because my teams are wrong. But yeah. I guess, what are like some key storylines we're looking into the draft about what teams do? Like,
Somebody might trade into the three. That's kind of the big thing.
Yep.
Trading into three is going to be the big hot spot, because New England needs absolutely everything. So I could see them easily trading out of there. I could see.
Do you see a team like the Raiders being interested enough in trading up that many picks for a Drake May, or do you think they would be more happy to see if they can get McCarthy a little bit down?
So are we just assuming that Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels going 1-2?
Yes, let's just assume that for the thought experiment.
For the thought experiment, I could see, because of how young Drake May is, he's only like 20-something.
Yeah. He looks it too. He has babies.
Yeah, but I could definitely see the Raiders trading up for that, because like, you need a young... Because like, you have Davante Adams out there. You did just lose Josh Jacobs, which sucks, but... I mean, you have Davante Adams. You definitely have a safety blanket that he can constantly be throwing to. You just build up the offensive line, and obviously in later rounds, because of how deep these receiver classes are, you'll eventually be able to build that kind of young core around him. Because like, now you have like that centerpiece of like, look, this kid's got a lot of talent.
Yeah,
he doesn't start immediately, but we've got him.
Yeah, I agree. I think for me, for the Raiders, I'm just like, do you get rid of that many draft picks when you're not that talented of a team to get up? It's like this debate of like, how much do you get for your guy at quarterback?
I don't think they go for Drake May necessarily. If Jaden Daniels falls to three, they're going for him. They're trading the house for him because it seems like they love him. But I think that could definitely be an option for them.
Yeah.
By the way, if anybody can hear in the background, there are currently a lot of wind going on. Our doors are slamming.
It's our fourth roommate.
It's our fourth roommate. There's a thunderstorm coming on right now.
A key in our draft is Jared Verse at 16 would be a home run for the Seahawks. Imagine. But yeah, I think it'll be very curious.
This is an interesting draft this year.
Yeah, no one. I think the JJ McCarthy, like, what is a smokescreen? What isn't? What teams view him as?
Like, actually want him or not? Yeah.
Like, it kind of seems hard to believe he'll fall to 11, but maybe he could. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it'll be an interesting draft.
Yep.
Good thought experiment from us.
I like it.
NBA playoffs are in full swing.
Yep.
As soon as we end this recording, we're going to go watch the Sixers game. So that's going to be it for the Coconut Curry podcast. This episode, episode 29, a lot shorter than I ended up thinking it would be, which is still an hour and a half long. So that still shows you how much we, thought about
it. With the Tyrese.
So
there you go. Sorry.
Raj is getting hyped. We're going to go watch the game.
Oh, you cherry picking.
We'll come back on episode 30 next week to discuss all the NBA playoff drama.
Yes.
See you next time.
Oh, Butler's. Butler. Oh, no.
Malik Nabers, Aroma Dudes.
Jimmy Butler just went down with a knee injury.